Hey guys, welcome to another wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Allen. Joined with me is Wynn Brantley, Ryan Fox. Boys, how we doing?
How you doing, buddy?
Oh my God. Ryan's excited. Ryan's excited because we're going to Dega Sunday.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the podcast.
Nothing to do with the podcast.
To be fair, any of us, like, we're happy to do this, but are we, like, jacked up about it? I mean,
it's one of the best couple weekends of the year.
I'm talking about the podcast.
Ryan's still
but
talking
you,
about
you
that.
Are my favorite part of
you
most
are correct.
Weeks.
You are correct. I agree.
My
going
favorite
to Talladega.
My favorite part of most weeks.
What are you doing this weekend?
Not going to Talladega.
I know, you had your chance.
I did.
We did offer.
I know.
Replaced you with a Russian.
I said,
oh, is it, yep. Oh, cool. October? Maybe?
Maybe.
Okay. That means no. Joke?
It's also on a Sunday.
There is joke. Oh, well then.
Probably at 3 o'clock.
Then it's probably.
It's going to be 2.
Yes, there is a joke before we get into our lovely review, which this is kicking off. If we'll get more into it later.
No Matt games this week.
No Matt games.
It's like, what, 4 episodes in a row he was here?
It was. Yeah. He's like the unofficial just 4th member.
Yeah,
I mean.
Pretty much.
So, you ready for the joke?
I think he does pretty good.
You think so?
Yeah.
Pretty solid.
Pretty honest judge.
Pretty honest judge.
I mean, the in-ring work of my card was just... I mean, I finished 3rd, but...
And yet you did still less complaining than the guy in 2nd.
I know.
Because
crazy, right?
I was given a very biased rating towards one of my talent on the card because of something that he had done.
See, it's like, for me, it's like Tampa Pro Skateboarding Competition. There's like 132 people. If you finish like 120th, you're a crappy skater, right? But if you finish dead last, that's something to be proud of. So, and I am proud of my last place finish. You were 2nd. You're just the first loser. I'm just another guy.
I'm not proud of it because, again, there was some bias there due to the fact of...
Buddy, you had a crap card. Let's
just
be real.
No, I had a good card, crap but roster. I had Gable Stevenson.
Listen to this
and
Carl
the fact
Edwards
that I took my roster, and still finished 2nd, I'd say that an accomplishment, but...
It's really because I had more matches.
But...
It's really, actually, no, it's because of the Money in the Bank cash in.
That is honestly it, yes.
I would have finished, no, actually, I think he's still tallying
yeah,
up. I still would have finished
been, he would have, he had like a point, 0.2 of a point.
I really think I just had too many matches.
Well, we're moving to the joke.
He got you by a fender.
Yes, you and him.
We're into the joke.
Hey, half an inch.
We'll do another draft in a fantasy card next month. Yep. But for now, can I do a joke, Ryan?
He's already laughing.
Ready?
Laughing at myself.
So, who's that guy who's always lying down in the ring? You mean Matt? He's lying down in the ring.
Oh my God.
That's inappropriate. He's not here this week.
But.
He's here.
Mine.
That's Matthew. That's my 2.
But
that's not Matt.
That's Matt No Ball.
That is No Ball, Matt.
Matt Ball.
No, you don't, though.
Oh, Matt No Ball.
There you go.
Let's get into it, brother. I mean, here we go.
I'm back.
So what's the significance behind this episode
this
of TNA?
Episode of TNA is the first we get it. You're back! Is the first episode of the Hulk Hogan era.
It's also starting the new Monday Night Wars that is not talked about by anybody because it didn't really happen.
Well, because it only lasted 8 weeks.
Hey, you should start a podcast called 8 Weeks.
Because I mean,
Bischoff has the 84, 86?
88 weeks. Or 83 weeks.
83, yeah.
Yeah.
So he should start 8 weeks.
He should. Well, I wonder if he's pretty proud of that. I think he's proud of that 8 weeks. By the way, what would you get to it? In those 8 weeks, guess how many times TNA beat WWE?
0.
Never.
None.
No, WWE was still pulling like a 4 every week.
Mm-hmm.
Doing whatever they wanted.
Literally.
Pretty much, yeah.
Now, they did. They were sneaky. They did try to compete.
I mean, they tried.
No, I'm talking about WWE. They actually did try to combat what TNA was doing. They respected them a little bit.
Well, because, so, when they announced Hogan being on this episode of Impact, they announced Bret Hart not long after.
Yeah.
So, they knew what they were doing. They knew, I mean, hey, we're going to try to counteract this. Granted.
If there's anything to compare, let's compare TNA starts with a cluster of an Asylum match. With it, returning Jeff Hardy, I'll give him that. But WWE starts with a returning Bret Hart, who comes out and says, I guess hell has frozen over, because he said he would never come back. Which one is bigger? In terms of the opening segment.
They should have had Hogan.
That's I would have had Hogan open.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, and then you would have had something to compete
no,
with.
No, you got to have him be late.
That's right. Well, while so he's supposedly Brett, booking so the show. This would have been Brett's first time on Raw in 13 years. But it would have been his first time in the company since 06 when he got inducted to the Hall of Fame. So it's been a minute. But so this starts, this is January 4th, 2010, with an attendance of anywhere from 1,200 to 1,500. Not too crazy.
It's the Impact Zone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Orlando, Florida. There's speculation. I haven't found anything like concrete to it. There's speculation that like there some people are putting out rumors that no one paid to get in. I don't think that's true. I would hope not. If so, now I see why TNA didn't do very well.
I mean, I'm pretty sure dark tapings are free. I think they're
are they?
Universal Studios, I think they're a first come first serve.
But are you gonna do first come first serve for Hogan?
Well, I don't think that TNA's actual weekly show would be the same as Dark. Well, but I mean, like, as far as in the company,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, that is TNA's show. Dark isn't like if AEW was doing it for Dynamite.
Yeah,
then I'd be like. And I was also, sure.
And I get it. It was probably cheaper to be in the Impact Zone, so all that. If I have Hogan.
I'm traveling.
Yeah.
I'm going somewhere.
Well, I mean, literally you're going to Augusta, Georgia. Right when you get Hogan, right?
I mean you go to Augusta. If you were able to, I mean, you could do New York. I mean.
Yeah.
Things like that. Speaking of New York, so this actually
gets. There's got to be an arena in Orlando.
Well, there is, but
like, that's bigger Amway. Than yeah. That's bigger
Amway's right
than,
down the road.
That's bigger than the Impact
what's
Zone.
What's Amway's like capacity? What, 13,000, 17,000 somewhere around there.
Probably bigger than the Impact Zone.
Well, yeah, there's
most definitely bigger than the Impact Zone,
which is all that matters here.
I think Wynn's house is bigger than the Impact Zone.
Close.
So this all gets started in October of 2009. There's a huge announcement that Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff have signed with Total Nonstop Action. In a press conference held at the theater at Madison Square Garden. So you're in the house of WWE with WWE's mainstream star and then the guy who competed against WWE for 83 weeks. And Dixie Carter stated, our goal is to become the world's biggest professional wrestling company.
So I appreciate the enthusiasm. I really do.
Yeah.
They believed what they were saying. I really think they believed they were going to be superior at one point.
They did.
But you got to.
She also explained their goal was to take TNA globally and grow globally, which they actually.
Which means Canada.
Which they do, which means Canada.
And only Canada.
No, they actually ended up touring. They started about 08, 09, but they ended up touring like the UK and India. So they actually were going global, and they thought Hogan could have helped that. He may have. I don't really know. So, of course, then they announced that they're going to move to Monday nights, starting January 4th, on December 5th, on a like during an appearance on The Ultimate Fighter. So, nice little cross-promotion there. He said they would go head-to-head with WWE Raw on Monday, January 4th, in a three-hour live broadcast on Spike. By the way, the show we watched in Impact Plus
was not 3 hours.
The runtime was an hour and a half.
Yeah.
What got... We're going to go through it. I haven't read through to see what exactly got cut. I don't think they did. I know entrances did. No one really had an entrance besides, like, AJ and Kurt.
Yeah.
And then Hogan's 15 entrances.
My God.
I mean... So, yeah. So, they announced that, hey, we're going head-to-head with them January 4th. How does WWE react to this? We're going to give you Bret Hart. Pretty solid.
And he's going to win the U.S. title.
He's going to win the U.S. title. Does he win it? He doesn't win it that night.
No, I don't think so.
No. I think he wins it close to Mania.
Didn't
after
he beat
Mania?
The Miz?
Yes, he does. That's after Mania. I'm pretty sure he does. Because
he gets the no-holds-barred... Hart family lumberjack match in Mania.
He does with Vince, yeah, and it's horrible.
it's just him beating him up with a steel chair and spitting in his face. Yep. Which, by the way, he already spit in his face. What's the story
with the
here?
The longest pair of jorts. they're long, like they're still shorts, but they're long enough to be pants. Like it's not a great look. But we're gonna go into Impact for a little bit. Bubba the Love Sponge interviews fans outside the Impact Zone. Who cares? Like, they didn't care. They got in for free, probably.
It was like that time they tried to interview us at a CCW show last year. Do you remember that?
Did they?
They offered us an interview for their documentary.
Oh. That's right.
You said yes, and I said no, like, simultaneously. We should have just, like, done it and been, we should like, have backhanded. Like, it's just such a great, the best
that's, professional that's, wrestling. That's what I thought we were going to do if we would have said yes. I was going to just do a lot of grandstanding for him, brother. Like, man, CCW is professional wrestling.
Dude, I wouldn't have been able to hold myself together. I would have been done.
Let's kick things off. What better way to kick off TNA than with some Edge Division action? We're thinking, you know, high energy, spot fests, crazy athleticism. We get that. With a giant red cage surrounding the ring in a Steel Asylum match.
That you can't see through.
That you can't see through.
At all.
Not
worse
one bit.
Than the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. With the tiniest hole at the top for someone to escape. It's a Steel Asylum match with the Motor City Machine Guns, Homicide and Kiyoshi, Jay Lethal, Consequences Creed, a nice little young Austin Creed there. He's like 25, maybe?
I don't even think he's 25, dude.
He's 21 when he goes to Impact. That's 08, so this is 2010. So he's 23, so that's... And he's already been X Division champion too, so pretty solid. Suicide and Amazing Red, who is X Division champion. What do you get if you win this match? You get to win.
Not the X Division title.
No, even though the champion's in the ring, in the match. Like, so we do have a crazy X Division spot fest, but we can't see it because of the lack of cameras in ring, the lack of access to the cage. By the way, this cage I'm pretty sure has no door.
The wall just opens.
The wall opens up. And then they have to, it's like a lattice. You have, it's like got like two little stands at the bottom. So you got two guys shimmying it over. Very uncool. And then
working
you just,
ring crew would be a nightmare.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It would be like when I set the cage up at New Era.
That's pretty similar. But it's supposed to be this spot fest. And this match ends in a no contest. A cage match. We were supposed to escape to win ends in a no.
They did it before the WWE did it. Props to them. Good they did it before it was cool.
Yep.
They were first.
They were.
They did it, and they inspired WWE so much that 9 years later, they do it 2 years in a row.
But did they have anybody whip out a baton and start beating people with it?
Did they have Jeff Hardy return?
I mean, that's for sure. Did they have, like, coked out of his mind Jeff Hardy return?
Hey, Somas.
There was cocaine too.
I'm sure at some point, yeah.
That's what he got arrested for in 09. When they raided his house, there's a giant box of Somas and coke. So, yeah, Homicide pulls out a baton, starts hitting everybody, even his teammate Kiyoshi.
Yep.
And it ends in a no contest. Fans were upset. So Homicide won't make impact. So he decides, hey, I'm going to climb out of this cage. Because, you know, they can't open the wall to get to him. He starts climbing a cage to the escape. The only problem was, Homicide's not strong enough to pull himself all the way up through the cage to get out. So, Suicide gets up, sees what's happening, so he joins in on the action. And then all the X Division decides, hey, the match isn't over, even though it's a no contest and the bell rang. We're going to climb the cage too. And then you get just the greatest theme in TNA history right next to Hardcore Country! Oh, okay, you're done.
Another. Oh wait, no.
No, my goodness!
Damn, I had to be.
Get everything. It together.
Modest.
To the top. Modest. I'm at the top.
Straight
to the top. To the top. I'm in the mountain and it's on top. I mean, Jeff
Check
Hardy.
Check this out, Taz. What the hell is this?
By the way. Like, he chose the most difficult way to go through the crowd.
Like, not through the actual, like...
the walkway. He actually went...
Excuse me, pardon me.
I made CM Punk a superstar. Get out the way. Just climbs over the barricade very awkwardly. Has a face
he
off.
He did look awkward. Like, his facial, he looked like he's like, oh, I don't know about this.
He's like... Am I really at the top?
Am I really modest?
Am I modest?
Maybe it's just TNA.
Man, I ain't never been to WCW, man. Man, saw the Nasty Boys backstage.
Man, it's good to be
here. NWA has changed.
Ring of Honor. It's a pleasure to be here.
I realize when I did my Jeff Hardy impression, it sounds like Theo Vaughn.
Well, look at the similarities between Theo Vaughn and Jeff Hardy. First of all, their looks.
Yeah, that's right.
Theo Vaughn needs to play Jeff Hardy in a movie about Jeff Hardy.
That'd be perfect. So him and Homicide have a face off. Homicide goes to attack him. They end up tripping over the the supports. Then there's a chair brought out from Jeff. Nasty. Takes a huge swing at Homicide with a nasty looking twist of fate on the stage.
Which, by the way, it's a little thing nobody cares about, but me and you pointed out that the chairs were like square.
Yeah.
Like, instead of rounded at the top, like they usually are, it was a square chair. Square chair.
Square chair. Square chair at the top. So Jeff decides, you know, hey, I'm already taking out the winner. So I'm going to climb up the side of this cage, sit on the roof.
And just sit there.
While fans are, you know, huge pop from the fans. Fans were glad to see him as he's, like, mouthing and lip-syncing his song and doing, like, sign language to it. And it says,
Yep.
That's it. That's exactly how it went. So, what did you guys think of the opener?
Yeah.
It could have been better without the red cage.
Yeah.
So, very poorly executed. Or, better yet, again, have Hogan open the show and put over the X Division.
Since that's why we're here.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you made this show 3 hours.
That's why we're reviewing it.
Yeah.
And then we regret it when Hogan comes out.
Yeah. Next up, there's a backstage segment. I don't remember this, so maybe it's part of what got cut. Jeff Hardy goes backstage and he meets up with...
Oh, yeah, no, we did not.
Shannon Moore?
We did not see that.
We did not see that. That's what I figured. I was about to say. So he meets up with Shannon Moore, who's also at Impact. Will they do anything after this? No.
Cool.
Yeah, they don't team together. They're just buddies, you know, hanging out TNA, man. That was my Shannon Moore impression. It's the same as Jeff. Everybody
was that from, Theo Vaughn, Shannon Moore, or Jeff Hardy?
Well, everybody from, like, Cameron, North Carolina sounds the same besides, like, Matt. another backstage segment. Christy Hemme is interviewing Kevin Nash. Kevin Nash talks about Hogan arriving at TNA. Nash said it was an epic night. And he says he's looking forward to seeing an old friend. He says that he's the smartest man in wrestling. To be fair. Yeah.
He's up there.
I mean, made a lot of money without doing much.
As much as I might dislike him, he is quite literally the reason most of this is happening.
I love Kevin Nash.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Hogan.
Oh, no, Kevin Nash.
I love Kevin Nash.
Oh, yeah. Hogan, yeah, I could see that. Not a big Hogan guy.
Don't love the guy.
Yeah, but Nash says...
Which one, Hulk or Terry?
Terry.
I would say Terry is a piece of garbage.
That was his entire case in court.
That's hilarious.
Let me tell you something, dude. Okay? Hulk Hogan is not a racist. Terry. Much.
I can't remember which one he was saying was...
Listen, in that video, I was under character, brother.
He was saying he was either in character or not in character.
So I feel like
either way, if
he's pleading his case to a promoter, I can understand this argument. Like, hey, brother, Terry's a big racist, but brother Hulk, I'm...
Brother!
I love everybody. Everybody's a brother. And then... Wait, why am I still talking like that?
Can you imagine, like, lawyers is like, so tell me why you're a racist. Listen here, dude.
You're a racist.
I'll tell you right now, you're the racist. All right? Hulk Hogan's not a racist. And he just, you know, cross at Damon's. Well, how about Terry Bollea?
Whoa. I don't like that guy that much. You're talking to Hulk right now.
So Nash, and I misquoted, Nash said people say he's the smartest man in wrestling. And he says it's true. His first mentor was Hulk. And he says, whatever company he's worked for has been the number one company in the world. By the way, he's the worst drawing WWF champion in the 90s. So, no. I mean, in theory, yeah, WWF was number one because there was no one else. But he made money, but the company was tanking when he was champion. So, yeah. Nash said, you know, TNA's on their way to making, you know, becoming number one. Not sure. And he said he was going to make more money than he ever has in his life. Also not true. So there's a lot of reasons for him to be excited tonight. So he's excited to see his buddy Hulk. He said that he talked to Hulk and he said he's on his way and he is not alone.
Made some friends.
I'm back. Next up is a TNA knockout title match. You got ODB taking on Tara, which is Victoria from WWE.
Was this the match that I said was good and I was surprised it was good, or was that the other women's match?
I think it was the tag match.
It was the tag match that was really good. Because
the tag match was really good.
Yeah.
This match was...
It wasn't bad.
Not horrible.
It was all right.
I feel like all the matches, I feel like it was too much like WWE, where it's like, we have 3 hours, but all of it's going to go into
Hogan
or segments and backstage stuff.
Now, granted,
shirt poker.
No, no match is going to top the Asylum match, and as far as being the worst match of the night.
No, not at all. This isn't bad. It's just it was rushed. Like, I feel like
they probably gave him like what, 4 minutes.
I don't have a time here, but that's probably accurate. About, I would say 3.5-4 minutes. I mean, ODB gets the win, and after the match, Tara pretty much, I think she was already heel, but she turns heel.
just to make sure,
like, just to double check.
You know, new audience. They're bringing in all of the new fans.
Well, all 1,500 people are there with their families on vacation. They have no idea what wrestling is. Like, that's like, we just wanted to see the Wizard World of Harry Potter. I don't know what's that universe.
It's a bunch of families that said, hey, this could be fun.
Yeah, like, hey, oh, is Spider-Man going to be here if Hulk's here? Like, and no clue what they're getting into. So, yeah, ODB gets kicked in the gut and hit with a Widow's Peak, and then took her spider out of its cage and let it crawl all over.
Eric Redbeard.
Here's the thing. Eric Redbeard had a giant spider.
He did. A giant mechanical spider.
That's right. Also, Tara.
I forgot about that.
Remember who he was talking to it and screaming at it? It? Like,
did
you
somebody smash it?
I forgot who it was that smashed it. I do remember who it was that got bit by it. Not a lot of people know who it was. It was a local indie guy.
Oh, I thought it was Mojo.
You know who it was? Fuego del Sol. A maskless.
That's right.
Fuego del Sol.
I wanted to be Mojo. That explains why he had the crappy face paint a week later.
Because you see him and you're like, that's not what I expected to look like. Then you hear him like get bit by the spider and start like yelling and stuff. I'm like, oh God, that is Fuego. Because he has a very distinguished
Hurricane Helms-esque
voice.
Yeah,
dude, he really does.
Next up, another backstage segment. We need a parking lot shot of a white limo pulling to the parking lot. And the Danger Boy. Yeah.
Oh,
coming.
I forgot about Flair.
Flair's here. And Flair goes into such a dark area, and it says, oh, he's going to AJ's locker room, which is in a back alley somewhere. Yeah, so there's the second shot fired in the war against WWE. It's not that. And by the way, guess what? There's another backstage segment after this. Chris Emmett interviews Mick Foley. Mick Foley arrived at the building, said he's going to work.
Not allowed.
He's not allowed, that's right.
No.
So, Foley said he's going to be on his best behavior. Foley stopped, or was trying to enter the building, but was stopped by security at the door. He should have came in, like, tried to enter in his Cactus Jack, or Dude Love, or
there
Mankind.
I would have liked that.
It would have worked.
That would have also been funny.
That would have been hilarious. That would have been the highlight of the show, honestly. Would have made it better. Hey, guess what? There's another segment. Bobby Lashley and his then-wife, Crystal. Oh, man.
His sisters weren't out there to retire.
His sisters were not out there. It was very upset. Very upsetting.
Max Caster wasn't out
no
there.
No Max Caster. Crystal Lashley.
20 double cheeseburgers.
No Simon Dean and 20 double cheeseburgers.
Stay out of this, sister.
Back when Bobby didn't have a personality.
And even in this little segment, still no personality.
He's just standing there.
He's just standing there with just a sports coat. And also, it's not like a decent sports coat where it's like just like one solid color. It's one of those ones you'd buy like Rue 21 or something where it's got a design on it like every dad wore to a daddy-daughter dance in 2008. Like, my dad probably would have wore it if he would have, you know,
if,
I don't know.
If he had a daughter.
Well, if he had a daughter. Or if he'd have been part of anything, you know, but it's fine.
You're oversharing.
Sorry. That's
back,
next week.
Back to the...
I know. Crystal liked it. Don't rush me on my trauma. How dare you? Crystal Lashley said tonight is the biggest night in TNA history. Yeah. Bobby has a personal message for Hulk Hogan that he doesn't say.
Wait, had Hogan already been like revealed as a racist at this
point? No. That's like 2014 because he was in like 2K15 and he was like he had just got done with WrestleMania 30. Like, so he was in WWE. And then
he said it on like two different occasions too.
Well, the one that I'm referring to is the one that got him like blacklisted.
Yeah.
Wrong choice of words.
I'd imagine so.
Exile from the company.
There you go.
He said some things that got him blacklisted.
Anyways.
Get it, Ryan?
Yeah, you get it. Crystal said no one...
Until they went back to the Silver Dome.
Crystal said no one in wrestling or MMA can match Bobby's talent. Kind of true. He was a very good MMA. I mean, he was a very good martial artist, truthfully. I mean...
Yeah, but when Roman Reigns cut that promo against him, he said he failed.
I wouldn't say so. It was all right. I think he had like the same record, if not a better record than Brock.
But did Bobby ever pin Godzilla...
Did he ever
King Kong.
Did he ever beat Okada in the Tokyo Dome? Bronson Reed did.
Can we start getting like some fatal four way boxing matches?
They have, in like Russia, they have team. They have like 5-on-5 MMA.
It's literally, it's not even MMA. There are no rules.
Yeah, and by the way, it's like when one of your like teammates quits or gives up or gets knocked out,
you're done.
Then it's like 5-on-4, and it's horrible.
What's your hope spot looking like, though?
It's look like I'm getting the crap kicked out of me.
Literally, someone knocked one person out first, and you win.
The only hope spot there is to not die. By the way,
I like when they put them in a telephone booth.
Oh, that's sick, dude. Have you seen the car jiu-jitsu?
Yep.
You gotta see that.
It's awesome.
We'll watch it later. So Bobby Lashley was active in MMA from 08 to 2016 with a 15-2 record.
It's pretty solid.
Good for him.
Granted, most of it, or if not all of it, was in Bellator. So
he also was about to go to the Olympics before somebody robbed a bank in his presence, mm-hmm. and he fell to the ground.
Yeah, that was right before he went to WWE. So like he's a legit athlete. So I can agree.
He's everything like Brock. He could have been everything that like Brock
if he didn't
and Kurt Angle was. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think Bobby Lashley was athletic enough to do it, but, like, Brock just had the personality, I think, to, like, because it's very contagious, at least in terms of how he carries himself. Because when you let Brock loose and you don't give him anything, like, in terms of, like, anything, like, script, he's great. I mean, especially since he cosplayed as Trish Stratus on Raw the other night with a little trench coat. But anyways,
also beat up two of my friends.
There you go. So that's pretty cool. Proud moment.
Yeah.
Crystal then goes
That was Cody.
Crystal goes on to say that no one can match Bobby's talent, and then she called the fans a bunch of inbred, toothless degenerates.
They're in Orlando. They're not in Mississippi.
But Florida.
Oh, fair.
A little far south. Panhandle's what you're looking for.
Crystal turned Bobby Lashley heel and said he was asking for his immediate release because he has better things to do. And did he?
Sure.
Honestly, at this time in TNA, yeah, I think he did have better things to do.
And hey, guess what is up next? A backstage segment. Yeah. With the beautiful people, and they are in a room and sat down. They're not in a room. They're in a janitor's closet. Yep. I mean, there's enough room to put a little round table in there, and that's it.
They are in a fake room. They are in a curtained off 4x4 fake room.
They're in the GM's office. Like that's. I mean, every GM's office is a fake room, so that's what they're in. They sit down and go to play poker, and Velvet said the beautiful people wanted to make the biggest impression, so they're going to play live poker. Lacey acted like a brainless bimbo that she probably is.
is that what the website says?
No.
that's what you say.
That's right. Well, she's a Von Erich. Well,
fair enough.
So I believe she's Carrie Von Erich's daughter. Lacey ended up with a royal flush, but didn't understand since she had the A of Hearts and the guy with the hat. Suddenly it turned into a game of strip poker, okay. And Lacey said it's too bad they are so bad at this game.
One person still has to win, though.
Like, could you imagine all three of them like have no clothes? They're just like, oh no, no one won. I don't think that's how poker works.
Just say someone, you wanted to take your clothes off.
Someone wins.
By the way, you don't have to just take your clothes off. You don't have to get any permission.
It's TNA, man.
It's literally in the name.
Honestly. It's TNA, baby.
It's in the name.
Update.
Crystal, baby.
Update. Ooh.
They're following Hulk Hogan's limo on the way to Impact Zone for another backstage segment.
Yeah, we got it on Interstate 4 right here in the midst of that hellhole.
Here he is. He's on his way. You can see the red and yellow limo coming all the way.
It's just a black limo.
Who's the motorcade?
Could you imagine seeing JBL has the horns on his motorcade? What if Hogan had like a bandana and a mustache on his?
That wasn't in the budget.
No. So he did a segment with Sean Waltman and Scott Hall, who showed up and tried to get in the building, but were stopped at the door. They then tried to strong-arm their way in, but are restrained by security. Which leads us to another update.
Yes.
Hogan's limo's only a few blocks away from the impact zone.
Kind of invested now.
I know, right? In the arena, Scott Hall and Sean Waltman somehow get into the building, walk through the crowd. It looks like they bought tickets. Scott Hall then looks into the camera and yells out, "Bring out the Hulkster." Because that's how he yells. Which, here comes Hulk Hogan, finally. I'm pretty sure we're like 17 hours into the show. 24 backstage segments in. And we get Hulk Hogan coming out wearing all black, so maybe NWO twist. Also has the beard, so...
Also the exact same theme song. Like, there's no difference.
There's enough to make it legally different. It's in a different key. Which makes it... Thank you. Makes it legally different.
Yeah, that's my thoughts.
So, Hogan, of course, goes on and on about, Impact is going to war, dude. We're going to become the number one sports entertainment industry, dude. Brother, brother, brother. And then sees Waltman and Hall. Brother, brother. And then, of course, he just grins at him because...
For life, too sweet, brother.
Then they show Hogan's daughter, Brooke, and his fiancée, Jennifer. He milks the crowd reaction and could maybe even shed a little tears. You know, his acting career sucked, so he may as well try it out now. He says he's been backstage all day long, and there's a lot of old faces, brother.
Not all day long, just showed up.
Literally
just got there.
He went out to dinner. Hogan said if...
When the show started, he left to count that.
He was there all day doing, like, creative preparations for the show. Like,
and then
he's all right, brothers, I'm gonna pal and get something to eat.
Yeah.
Jeff,
I'm gonna...
Be safe.
I'm gonna go to the beach shop, brother. Do a signing.
I wonder if he had the beach shop.
I'm gonna go down to the main event in Orlando. Very fun place, by the way. If you're ever in Orlando, go to the main event. Bars, bowling alley.
He then said if guys had something to say, to bring them in the ring.
Parkour.
So out comes... Hall and Waltman, and of course, Scott Hall does the trademark.
Hey-o.
Hogan said he was all about the party, but if they have something to say it right now, dude. And then he says, say hello to the bad guy. And then out comes Eazy-E, old Eric Bischoff, you know? Not quite. It's a really bad...
Ryan, you are obsessed with
that. I do like
that.
It's a really good song. But it's not... It's
my entrance theme.
It's nowhere near that. It's like some weird, like...
Yeah.
It's some weird, like, Irish jig on an electric guitar.
Oh, wait. What is Eric Bischoff's deal now? I feel like he's just constantly saying, this is how you make AEW better. And I'm like, you know, you did pretty good for a little bit with WCW. But you still failed in the end.
But here's her. I can defend Eric.
If he had succeeded, then he wouldn't be doing a podcast.
Well, but here's the thing, though. He's the only one that's beat Vince. I mean, truthfully. And if you look at the early parts of that, or for the most part, really, they kind of start dipping down in 98 when the NWO's, like, the whole roster and so diluted and all that. Those 83 weeks.
You mean when it was Sting versus everyone under contract?
Exactly.
And then they split the NWO in half?
Yeah.
So my whole thing, though, is that Bischoff directly competed with Vince. Tony's not trying to do that.
No, it's all a war. All of it.
I mean, he's not trying to, but, I mean, truthfully, I'm sure there's a way to be the alternative and be better. And if you look at AEW's roster now versus WCW's roster in that peak era, very similar. A lot of ex-WWE guys, some homegrown guys. As well as your little bit smaller guys for a cruiserweight division. Which, by the way, there's no cruiserweight title. I love a cruiserweight title, personally.
I do, too.
I think companies need to invest in one. I mean, it's more sport-like if you have, like, a junior heavyweight or a light heavyweight championship, in my humble opinion. But, whatever.
My humble opinion.
So, Eric Bischoff comes out, and even Nash is there. And Nash said that it was a different time. Or, no. Nash meant that it was big money and big parties. Hogan says...
That's not the way it works around here, brother.
It actually kind of would be.
No way.
Yeah. I said it was a different time and it doesn't work that way now. Waltman said that it was the same place and the same people and that they were there to party. And he's right on that. Because guess who's also here and guess who is head of creative in 2010 TNA? Vince Russo. So it is 100% WCW. Hogan said it was the time that they all grow up and do the right thing for business. By the way, they were like in their 40s when they were in WCW. So you would have already grown up, I think, right? But it's whatever. It's just this long-winded promo to say, hey, Hogan's here, Bischoff's here, the NWO's here. Will they join together? Will they not? Who knows?
By the way, the length of this promo is actually acceptable. It's at the wrong segment of the show.
It should have opened the show.
If it opened, I'm not complaining about how long it is.
Well, if you look at the amount of people you have in ring, with Hogan being there, then you have Waltman and Hall, two big names, all original members of NWO. Then you have Nash, and then you have Bischoff. Five key components of WWE or WCW winning in those 83 weeks.
People watching Brett on Monday night might get a text from a friend that says, hey, the entire NWO pretty much is on Spike right now. Some people might change the channel.
Yep.
Some people.
Mm-hmm. So Nash, Hall, and Waltman leave the ring. They'll eventually kind of have their own faction named The Band.
The Band.
Because it can't be The Click, and it can't be the NWO. It can't be anything cool. So it's The Band.
The Band.
What instruments do they play? Nothing. So, of course, then Hogan and Bischoff go on a just rant about everyone's under a microscope. Oh, and he actually goes to SoCal Val, hey, can I have the format to the show? And Eric Bischoff just rips up the script and the format of the show. And we're supposed to make this, you know, make people believe it's real. So we're just going to rip the script up and start from scratch. And I'm thinking, okay, that would have made sense if you'd have done it at the start of the show. Yeah.
already had a match.
Bring everybody from the X Division back out here.
Let's restart the asylum.
We're going to rebook it.
Put Jeff Hardy in it and put the title on the line. Jeff Hardy's going over.
I mean, honestly, it would have been a lot better.
We should have another no contest.
No, he's got to go through the crowd in an awkward way again.
Hi, excuse me.
Bischoff said they would turn the company upside down and they were going to start right now. Hogan said, if you can't talk and you can't wrestle, then pack your bags and head up north.
A lot of people should have packed their bags.
Yeah. Hogan ended up saying, what you gonna do when TNA and all the Hulkamaniacs become number one in the world and run wild on you? Did they do it? No.
No.
As they threw the commercial, the cameras see Sting up in the rafters, watching all of this change, a.k.a. very long-winded segment unfold.
She's just hanging out.
He's just hanging out. Yeah. So so far, we are, I feel like we're like halfway through just about in terms of the episode.
Good God.
I think we are. I'm not really sure because there's still a lot of crap that's been cut out. What are we thinking of Hogan's TNA?
It's terrible so far.
It's not great, right?
Honestly, I bet you last week's episode was better in terms of structure and just
probably
everything.
So. I would think so. I can look up what happened on last week's show. But like, to be fair, the rating.
What was it?
1.5 compared to Raw's 3.5. So, I mean,
oh.
But I mean, to be fair, like Spike and even
it was on FS1.
Well, Spike and even like Hogan and them had mentioned, we're not trying to beat WWE in the ratings. We just want to see if we can hold our own and do better than our Thursday ratings. And if we can, then we'll keep this. Granted, they didn't keep it. It was only 8 weeks, roughly, and they didn't do it every Monday, which was weird. But I think that was their highest rating of the 8 weeks.
I would imagine so.
So, after that,
after this show.
So, 1.5 on this episode. They don't do another... Actually, they don't go full-time into Mondays until March.
What?
So, March 8th, 15th... Pretty much every show now draws under a 0.9, with their lowest rating show coming on April 26th with a 0.5 rating.
What was the demo like?
1849 was pretty strong. Or really, the 49 to 64 was strong because Hogan was on, I'm sure, brother.
That's right.
So they drew a 0.5 on April 26th to Raw's 3.3. Raw's lowest rating in this 8 week span or 9 week, however long week span, is a 3.05. Happens twice. So this was not going well from the start. And Impact, maybe. I mean, 1.5 is pretty solid, I guess, for Impact. I'm not sure what they were doing on Spike on Thursdays, but I mean, but I think if you would have started on the new year, hey, we're doing Mondays the whole time, instead of doing, hey, we're doing Monday now, we'll see you in a month. Didn't make any sense. And it didn't work. So, next up, we did another match. And I gotta say, a match of the night in terms of women's division. I think the main event's really good, but
if it wasn't for the main event, this is for sure, man.
Yeah.
This was a really good match.
This is. The Knockout Tag Team title match, Awesome Kong and Hamada take on Taylor Wilde and Sarita, and I mean, really solid. There's a lot of like in-ring action. A lot of my favorite thing about tag team wrestling, and this is why I won't fault AEW at all, tag team moves.
Yeah.
I mean, they're cool. They're really cool. And there was a lot of them in this one. You see like a really cool combo, like crossbody suicide dive with Taylor Wilde and Sarita. A few other things, like Awesome Kong, just proven that she's probably doesn't get enough credit as being like a really good female wrestler. Even in this era of TNA where they're kind of going away from like the really good in-ring and they're kind of going to the like WWE version of it where it's just, I mean, gorgeous women who can't wrestle and just need to show their body off. So
I think a lot of people when they're put at this like slot on the show, they kind of just go, all right, let's do our stuff, get out. These people didn't. I think they actually had a plan to try and steal the show. Because there's a lot going on this show. You got Hogan, you got Flair, you got AJ Curtis, Jeff Hardy. They put together a solid match.
They really did. And it was kind of interesting because like it's these tag titles are very similar to the women's tag titles now. There's not really many tag teams.
Right, there's not much.
There's just thrown together people. But yet with these four, it worked. Even though they may have been thrown together, of course, we didn't watch anything beforehand. They may have been teaming forever. But from what we saw, solid match. They worked really hard. I can't complain. The finish was great.
I was sports entertained.
Awesome Kong and Hamada.
I was professional wrestled.
Awesome Kong and Hamada win the tag titles. During this, we did a picture-in-picture of the Motor City Machine Guns being unconscious on the floor.
Fun.
So, how about that, right?
And we never got the payoff for that, I don't think.
I don't think it happens on this show. next up is a backstage segment.
Yes, Foley.
No.
Strip poker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Playing strip poker, and they are down to their skivvies until Sean Morley, a.k.a. Val Venus, shows up and inserted himself into the game.
They should have just called him, like, Pal Penis or something.
Yeah, this, when you think of ex-adult film star, that's your gimmick, Sean Morley. There's plenty of other names you could have used, but it's whatever. The girls didn't appear to be impressed with his bald head, and he was only wearing a towel and pointed out they only had to lose one hand and it'd be all over. False. He had wrestling boots on and ring gear. Sean Morley's a liar.
Yeah, terrible human being.
How dare he? Guess what? There's another backstage segment.
Mick Foley.
This is Matt.
Yes!
This is Matt Foley.
Oh, Mac Foley.
Matt Foley. Mick Foley gets in the back door after the Nasty Boys show up and scolded two guys for letting Mick Foley into the building. The Nasty Boys also join in, are in the Nasty Boys, are in TNA.
Woo!
No.
Woohoo!
Yeah!
It's not good.
Uh-huh!
Nope. Angelo Dawkins is a big Nasty Boys guy. Yeah! Pity City! Yeah! Nastyville! Got it! Uh-huh. So, next up is a tag team match with Hernandez and Matt Morgan taking on Raven and Dr. Stevie. With a good old Daphne. This match lasted less than a minute. Hernandez and Matt Morgan win. Moving on. I don't think we get this segment. I think this is another cut segment. Christy Hemme interviews the Pope, D'Angelo De Niro.
No, we did not see that.
Yeah. Elijah Burke, by the way, this gimmick, Elijah Burke did not get a fair shake in WWE.
No, he's so good.
Could have been a solid top tier, like mid-card guy, truthfully.
U.S. champion.
Oh, yeah. Long reign, I'm talking. And really, true, like ECW champion.
IC title run, man.
Maybe IC title run. Maybe. Bully Ray run.
Yeah.
He's being interviewed, talked about his match with Desmond Wolfe, who's Nigel McGuinness. He then says the great old Hogan wants to see him in action tonight. And then as he continues to cut a promo on Wolfe, Orlando Jordan shows up.
I'm a big Orlando Jordan guy. I've always liked Orlando Jordan.
I don't mind Orlando Jordan in WWE. In TNA, it goes a little off the rails.
It does.
But, hey, it's experimental. It was funny at one point. I mean, because he teams with Eric Young, and, like, Eric Young is oblivious to Orlando Jordan's advances.
I just want to break some news here.
No.
Seth versus Omos at Backlash.
I had to. Can't wait.
All right.
But, like, Orlando Jordan and Eric Young would team up with each other, so, like, Orlando would, like, give him, like, a slap on the butt, and Eric Young thinks it's a good game, so he gives him one back. You can see him walking down the ramp, Orlando Jordan gives him one, and then Eric's like, oh, yeah, team! And just smiles. he was very oblivious to the advances, and it was very funny. But the rest of the time where there's caution tape and he like sprays lotion all over himself, that's, I mean, not for me personally. But I'm a bit of a Orlando Jordan guy, gotta say. This next match is D'Angelo De Niro taking on Desmond Wolfe. So we get a very quick match, 2 minutes. Upset victory for the Pope, because Desmond Wolfe was kind of entering in that mid-card heel role pretty well. Again, didn't last very long. Desmond Wolfe didn't look good losing, unfortunately. So not too bad. Anything on Pope and Desmond?
I mean, no.
It wasn't very long. So no. Next up, my boy Jeff Jarrett arrives at the Impact Zone. Cameras then find Rhino laid out backstage, and Bubba the Love Sponge was there on spot to report what was going on. He is a job with TNA, by the way. This is like, everybody thought it was a one-off. No, he's actually with the company. You know Bubba the Love Sponges? No one does. Good. Okay. So far, we've had so many backstage segments. Very little in-ring action. The start, I mean, granted, what in-ring action we've gotten and some of the segments we've gotten have been really solid or been decent. Like enough to make you probably watch it in next week on Thursday because it won't be on Monday. But this did not need to be 3 hours.
No.
At all. And we only got an hour and a half of it and it still feels like a lot.
It felt like 3 hours.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part. Next up is another backstage segment, and it's JB interviewing AJ Styles. So he says that he was there for 7 years and he never experienced the excitement of tonight.
Never?
Never. Not one bit. He's won the world championship, by the way. Like, he won it like a couple weeks ago. But whatever. Styles says he couldn't wait to see what happens next. Styles says he knows he's world heavyweight champion but needs to show and know he can beat Kurt Angle. He's beat Kurt Angle before. So, I don't know why he needs that. Bischoff then showed up sarcastically clapping because he can't play anything else but a bad heel. Saying everywhere he goes, he hears about how great AJ Styles is. Bischoff said the bad news is that Styles versus Angle at Genesis wasn't going to happen. So instead of a main event match that you have to pay for with Kurt and AJ, you're going to get it on free TV when Kurt challenges for the world title tonight in the main event of Impact. And there's so many segments. We get Jeff Jarrett coming down and returning. I believe he's returning after the Karen Jarrett stuff. I think this is around the right time where him and Karen are a couple. He goes on to say, you know, that TNA's the greatest company, and, you know, he's been able to, you know, build guys like Beer Money. I've never seen Machine Guns, Daniel, Samojo, AJ Styles. Tells the camera they haven't seen nothing yet. I'm trying to compare it to like a WWE sense. It's almost like different circumstances, but it's almost like Vince when he came out and said, like, then, now, forever. And then just left. It's kind of like, okay, I'm going to do this because I know I will have no say-so and everything's about to change after tonight, if not already. So it's kind of him saying, hey, I built these guys. You haven't seen nothing yet because this show's going to tank and I will be out of the company pretty soon.
Fair enough.
Hogan comes up on the big screen, said that I was enough of the jaw drop because nobody cares. Real quick, Hogan, heel or face right now?
Hogan.
For the whole show. Because he was very face with the segment with Hall, Waltman, and Nash. But now he's, like, giving Jarrett a bunch of grief. He threatens to bring security out. Hogan said Jarrett ran the company to the ground, and Dixie Carter resurrected it. Which is, I mean, financially kind of true, sure.
Yeah.
Hogan said nobody cares about Jarrett's past, and he and Dixie are going all the way to the top. Hogan said Jarrett has no stroke, and told him to grab his boots and prove himself just like everyone else. Fair enough. By the way, more segments. I'm going to try to combine some of these a little bit.
Yeah. Give me like the interviewer from one segment and then the wrestler from another segment.
So, Hemi interviews Daniels. We also get Jeremy Borash and Mick Foley having a quick little segment. Foley said he has a problem with Mick Foley and he doesn't care if he has to go through to get to him. Next up,
Foley
this was...
Foley has a problem with Mick Foley.
Foley has a problem with Foley. Yeah.
Foley's got a Foley problem. That wasn't that funny.
Foley is upset with Hogan. Sorry. Backstage, Shannon Moore was with Jeff Hardy backstage praising
Hardy.
Jeff's painting
Jeff
ability. Mind
Jeff
you,
Hardy?
Shannon and Jeff Hardy have been friends for many years. He knows Jeff's a painter. Why is he amazed by it now? Whatever. Singles match. Samoa Joe defeats the Monster Abyss by submission. Samoa Joe replaced Rhino since he was taken out earlier by a mystery assailant. They also quietly dropped the barbed wire stipulation. Apparently there's supposed to be like barbed wire involved, and it wasn't. So they also showed Sting watching from somewhere in the impact zone. Probably the same spot he was in when Hogan came out. I think he's just moving. Like, he's in gorilla position now, or just like working. I mean,
yeah, get a better view.
The dusty position.
In the TV truck. It wasn't dusty in TNA, was it?
I don't know.
It's yeah. Dusty in AEW.
No, it's the go in AEW, isn't it?
I thought it was the dusty.
Maybe we haven't switched. I don't know.
Who knows? Who gorilla cares? Position.
Who cares?
I care. Next up, all right, I'm going to try to combine some more. Eric told a writer to take the script and reformat a certain segment that was too long, like the whole show. Crystal showed up again with some attitude and demanded a meeting with Hulk Hogan. And then Bischoff said if she wanted to meet with Hulk Hogan, go take your number and get in line. Bischoff said when she does go to meet Hogan to check her attitude at the door, Crystal said her husband's going to hear about this and Bischoff will be in trouble. Are we getting an Eric Bischoff Bobby Lashley match? I mean, Eric Bischoff's a legit black belt and Lashley's MMA superstar.
He's an MMA superstar.
Next up, cameras find beer money laid out backstage. Bubba the Love Sponge was on the spot to report it, which I think means Bubba the Love Sponge is attacking these
people. Is this Nasty Boys?
I don't think so. No, that's too much work.
Wait, am I getting intrigued by this?
No, hold on. We gotta keep going.
Hold on. Am I being pulled in by this story?
Bubba said he doesn't know who did it, but he's got a really good idea. I wonder if it's Hall, Waltman, and Nash.
I don't know. Because
the Nasty Boys aren't working, brother. Come on now. There's a backstage segment. Nasty Boys are trying to get into the building.
Go home, brother.
Security would not let them in because they weren't on the list. Bubba shows up and distracts the security guard so they can sneak into the building. Then Jeremy Borash interviews Kurt Angle. And we did another segment with Jeff Hardy and Shannon Moore that was cut. They cut all of Jeff's segments. They were leaving the building when three crazy teenage girls ran up screaming that they love Jeff Hardy. And Jeff gave them his painting and they ran off screaming with a giant canvas painting.
Woo!
Modest! Top!
Oh, man.
This show sucks. Because we did another backstage segment. They
Stop, dude! Go home! Main event, Kurt!
They entered Team 3D's locker room and started trashing the place. Ta-da. Team 3D was in Japan and not there, so they couldn't do anything about it. Main event time.
Woo-hoo-hoo! It was kind of funny when they brought them donuts. And they just, like, threw them at him. That was kind of...
That was.
Nasties are funny in good heels.
Nasties.
In the 90s, not in the 2000s. Not in 2010. So... But it's... Yeah. Not at all. A few minutes into the match, this mystery masked man, who we assume is attacking everybody, attacks AJ. The same guy who actually attacked AJ several times in the past. So apparently this is a little reoccurring thing. Kurt comes to the rescue, knocks him out of the ring. We get really solid back and forth action. About 20 minutes into this match, Ric Flair walks out to get a closer look. By the way, Ric Flair, every time they cut to Ric Flair, he looks very confused and doesn't care to be out there. So AJ Styles is triumphant, retains his title. They show Dixie Carter smiling and applauding. Angle then raises the arm of AJ to show respect. And then Hogan comes out with his crappy music saying those are the two greatest wrestlers in the business today. Now, in 2010... Kurt and AJ, top two in the business?
Top two? That would be them one and two. I don't know about that. I would say top five, both of them for sure.
Fair enough.
If you said either one of them, I wouldn't shake a finger at that.
Top two in Impact. Which would be right. Style, and then, of course, Hogan praised both of them, saying that Styles has raised the bar to a whole new level. He said, you guys have made history tonight. Sure. Somebody came out and whispered in Hogan's ear, and he immediately bolted backstage. Okay, bolted is a stretch.
I'm cutting the CM Punk promo to Nash. He briskly moved.
Yeah. Next up, our closing backstage segment.
This is the go home segment.
This is the go home segment. Yeah. Foley barges into a locker room and found Sean Morley playing strip poker with the beautiful people. Mitch Foley demanded to know where Hogan was. He told him down the hall and to the left. Foley goes down the hall and to the left and enters his former office to find Bischoff sitting at his desk. Bischoff said even if Foley has figured it out by now, he has no power, no influence. Told Foley to put his boots on and fight for his job like everybody else. Everybody's putting boots on and fighting for the job. So, like, is Jeremy Borash about to wrestle a match? Christy Hemme, we saw that in WWE. So, I mean, is everybody? Yeah.
Bill.
Camera guy?
Bill.
Stu's got to lace him up.
Stu's the most over-camera guy in the industry, right?
Mike Tenay's got to, you know.
Bill, backstage ring crew guy, has to lace him up.
There you go. Bubba the Love Sponge. Foley said he made a promise to himself to never work for Bischoff again. That's a legit thing. When he got fired at WCW, he said he never wanted to work for him again. Didn't work.
Obviously
not. So Foley said if he's going to make the choice to get fired, he's going to give him a reason to fire him. He charges Bischoff, but suddenly Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Sean Waltman show up and destroy him. Hogan walks in and surveys the damage as they did a tight shot of Hogan's face as they close out the show. And holy crap, that's the end of Hulk Hogan's.
I don't think we've ever in our 3-ish years reviewed a show that I've wanted to be over so much, to be honest with you.
The show had way too much. Here's the thing. Even with the stuff they cut out, this was still felt like...
I'm glad they cut some of that stuff out.
Yeah. They cut a lot out, which to be fair, I think usually so... I think it was three hours. I think if you include the commercials, it's probably more so like 2 hours, 20 minutes. So you're cutting out on the Impact Plus version, you've cut out 40 minutes worth of stuff.
Good.
Which is like entrances, segues.
More backstage segments.
Which we still covered them, unfortunately. But overall.
Not a good start to your supposed war that's going to start.
No.
That doesn't start for another month.
No, 2 months.
No.
Yeah, March.
Good God. Dude, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Could you imagine, like, Raw's like, hey, we're moving to Fridays in December.
Well, that'd be like...
Nope.
If AEW was like, all right, so we're going to do a Dynamite on Monday. Okay, sure, whatever. Bad idea, but sure.
I could see them doing that during, like, NBA or something like that.
Yeah, but they did one. And then waited 2 months. And then moved to Monday.
Just full time. Even not full time, and by like June, they're back to Thursdays or Wednesdays or whatever they're on now. So,
It's okay to have your own day.
It's fine.
It's better, actually.
Yeah. That would be honestly like what Vince wanted to do with the XFL and move them to the fall. Or what Trump wanted to do with the USFL, move them to the fall.
Yeah.
Let's compete with the NFL because we can do it, and you can't. Like, not saying that TNA, like, there are good
moments.
The
XFL to compete with the NFL, I think the XFL would literally have to script games.
That's the thing. Oh, yeah.
Which would be very entertaining to watch, them try to script.
Could you imagine if, like, 2001 XFL just had Vince in, like, a writer's room booking football? And he hate me. He's going to come out. And he's going to win the scramble. And he's going to just destroy his pack. And still play. Big Toad Roadmark.
And then lose the championship.
Lose the XFL title.
Show his struggle a little bit more.
That's right. It's right. You know, it's his hard times, you know? Not his daddy's. Overall, what do we think of the show, boys?
It was TNA.
It was terrible nonstop action. Terrible nonstop ass.
I feel like if they would have reformatted it, like, if they legit would have changed the format to this show, it would have
instead of acting like they changed the format,
actually
the show,
change it.
They should have changed it.
Like, Hogan opened the show. Perfect.
There you go.
Okay, maybe, you know, I actually did kind of enjoy, I don't remember most of these being on camera, but, like, the whole, showing people being knocked out backstage, okay, that's cool. That's a story. That's cool. It's a whodunit thing. Cool, whatever. Like, some of this stuff would have been cool. You didn't need Jeff Hardy in 5 million segments with Shannon Moore. I think they were just trying to get Shannon Moore a payday. So, I mean, you didn't need that. I don't think you need the Nasty Boys, even though some of their stuff was funny and entertaining. You could have reworked this whole show to make it work.
You didn't need Sean Morley either.
You didn't.
You didn't need any of that.
No, if you would have gave me the band, which would have been Hall, Waltman, and Flair. Or not Hall, Waltman, and Nash. Flair's a good addition, too. Why not Flair? And then I'll throw in the Nasty Boys, as I think eventually, I don't think they actually ever wrestle a match, to my knowledge.
And Flair's on just him getting there, right? He's not on again, is he?
He's just got there, and then this is leading up to the Immortal and the Fortune stuff.
So. That's all you see of him?
For this episode, yeah.
That's kind of funny. He just shows up.
He shows up, and then he's in the main event. So you'll see him go into AJ's locker room, and then you see him kind of come out 20 minutes in the match. So,
thank God that is over.
That was not fun. I gotta say, watching it was fun.
Sure, because we were talking crap the whole time.
But they could have done so much more with this. First off, by making it Thursdays. Second off, keeping it 2 hours. Thirdly, no Sean Morley.
Fifthly, have Hogan open the show.
Yeah. Hey. I mean,
and we fixed half your problems.
Yeah, there's ways to fix it to where, and I wonder who whose idea it was to go to Mondays. You think Hogan saying that when he got signed, or is that Dixie Carter?
I think it's a little bit of both.
I feel like Dixie.
I could see it coming from both of them.
Yeah, yeah. Or could, why don't you be Bischoff? Bischoff only knows how to do Monday Night Wars.
83 weeks.
Guys, it happened. Hey, I beat him. He's just telling Tony, like, hey Tony, if you move to Mondays, Monday Night Dynamite. It could work. Guys, that's it for this episode of Impact.
Thank God.
Praise God. But next, we are diving in. We haven't done this in a while, boys. I mean, when I say diving in.
Can I also say, from the beginning when we first started another wrestling podcast, literally, we started another wrestling podcast, we explained the format of this show was to be anything wrestling related, whether it be movies, NASCAR drivers, and now TV shows.
That's right. So for 8 weeks, 83 weeks, we're going to do...
we're copying TNA. We're doing eight weeks.
We're going to war. No, but for the next 8 weeks, we're going to dive into Heels, the Star Series. So you see, you know, guys like Stephen Amell.
Alexander Ludwig.
Yeah. CM Punk, even for most of the season.
CM Punk, he's in like... 3, 4 episodes?
Unless I feel like
and his character that he plays is just amazing.
Yeah, so you get to see us review and dive deep into the DWL in the heart of Georgia.
Duffy, Georgia, which is not a real town.
That's not at all. Because wrestling is not a real sport.
A lot of really good stuff. How can we give like a quick summary of what it is? Like, he's trying to carry on his father's legacy.
He was stranded on a deserted island.
For 5 years in hell. Actually, I love that show. It gets a little bit too much when they kill him 3 times, and then the third time they're like, let's not bring him back to life.
The last couple of seasons, I was just...
Here are reviewing Arrow to Stephen Amell wrestle the match.
I'll be here for the first, what, 4, 5 seasons or so.
Isn't that like 20 episodes a season?
That's
what we're doing next. This Stephen Amell story.
It was really good for a while.
There's also James Harrison is in it.
The football player?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Luke Gallows at some point.
Yeah.
Isn't Punk in it?
Yeah, we just talked about that.
I really wouldn't.
Hey, we're also doing Heels.
I know that. That's why.
And if all goes to plan, they said that... then season 2 is coming in the summer. They don't have a date. I'm assuming August. But 8 weeks from now, it's what, the end of June?
Right around.
Perfect. So we might have a release date by then, which would be awesome, because even if you don't watch wrestling, which if you don't watch wrestling, why are you listening to us? Thank you, but why?
Because I'm just that funny.
Shut up.
You're dirty. Shut up. You suck.
You suck. But I even think non-wrestling fans should watch Heels. It's that good of a show.
Well, because there's a lot more to it, too.
It's a lot more than just wrestling.
Yeah, that's right. But it's funny. I mean, there's some serious moments in it. I mean, it's kind of got a little bit of everything, which caters to us, pretty much. So, that's what we're going to do. So, we're going to start off with episode 1 next week, and we're going to fly through it. It's going to be a very fun 8 weeks.
I think it is.
I think it will, honestly. Like, I'm actually kind of sort of pumped.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to it.
Better than my idea. So.
Which I mean was idea?
My idea was going to be the No Holds Barred story arc. So we're going to do No Holds Barred the movie, and like the Hulk Hogan crappy wrestling movie. And then he had a match with the actor who played Debo at SummerSlam. And then he had another match with the actor Debo at Uncensored. It was just going
to
be the
trifecta. By the way, I already know what my next one-off is whenever I do get to pick that. It's the movie with John Moxley.
Cage Fighter?
Yes.
Jeez.
Mine's
gonna be. It's not even really a wrestling movie, actually. I just not at all.
So it's like he's a cage fighter.
So it doesn't fall in the criteria.
But he gets recruited from AEW to be a cage fighter. And it's Jon Moxley. Is that serious? It's Jon Moxley. Huh?
Seriously?
Yes. He's a pro wrestler being recruited as a cage fighter.
Are they recruiting Jon Moxley, or are they recruiting a character being played by Jon Moxley?
They're recruiting Rodney Stone, or whatever the hell his name is.
Anyways.
Rodney Stone. Oh, Rodney
Greatest
George.
Cage fighter there ever was. So join us next week for Heels Episode 1. So until then, oh crap, this has been a long one. At least in my mind. For Wayne, Ryan, and myself, this has been another wrestling podcast. And dude, we'll see you on the next one, brother.
Meh.